This is the October 23rd chapel service. The speaker is Dr. Riley Eubanks.
Thank you. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us now worship him who is our strength for every challenge as we praise and worship the Lord our God. Pray. O thou who hast taught us that in returning and rest we shall be saved, and that in quietness and confidence shall be our strength, help us now to open ourselves to thee. We praise thee, O God, for the gift of this day, for its privileges and its demands. Enlarge our understanding, that we may see in the concerns of today the leading of thy Spirit in our lives. Bless, we pray, our fellowship and learning at this place, that we may draw nearer to one another, and in so doing be drawn nearer to him who has called us into his service, even Christ Jesus, our great teacher, our Savior, and our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. We are delighted to welcome to the campus today and to our chapel some colleagues of the seminary in our teaching enterprise from abroad, that is, from away from the campus. I speak of the supervisors of clinical pastoral education in a number of centers who are our guests on campus today as we observe Clinical Pastoral Education Day. During the years that I was in seminary, one of the exciting winds and trends on the campus was an interest in something that I heard of my first year or so there. At that time, it was called clinical pastoral training. I didn't realize at the time that this was not as new as it seemed to me. As a matter of fact, I can date the beginning of clinical pastoral education because it began, as we know it today, in a comparable form the year I was born. So I know for a fact that it's 59 years old. A number of us have had happy experiences. A number of us have had difficult experiences. But many of us have become indebted to the field which we know as clinical pastoral education. And today is a day in which we allow students and encourage students to learn more about this particular adjunct to seminary training. And we do so by inviting you after chapel to come by Mackey Common, where a number of our guests will be there to meet you, to speak to you, to interpret their opportunities for training. Between 10:30 and 12 this morning, therefore, we invite you to join us in Mackey Commons for discussion and information between you and these representatives from various clinical centers. I'm going to take a moment to invite our guests to stand, if they will. I won't call their names, but I'll recognize the centers from which they come. We welcome them. We hope they'll be feel welcome on our campus. We regard them as close colleagues. From the Duke University Medical Center, who is represented today, the John Umstead Hospital at Butner, the North Carolina Memorial Hospital at Chapel Hill, the North Carolina Baptist Hospital, a Wake County Medical Center, Wake Memorial Hospital, I guess is the updated title, the South Carolina Medical, the Medical Center in South Carolina, the South Carolina Baptist Medical Center, I should say, the Good Shepherd Baptist Church in Petersburg, Virginia. Is there a representative here from the Baptist Medical Center, Birmingham, Alabama? Thank you. And from Charlotte Memorial Hospital, a new program in our region. And from University Hospital, Augusta, Georgia. I believe this is the first year both of these centers have been with us. And we welcome them. And from the Georgia Regional Hospital in Augusta. Have I omitted anyone, any center? Well, we're delighted to welcome you, and we encourage each of our students to come by Mackey Hall after chapel and get further information. Our worship leader today is a native of Texas. He was born and reared in Corpus Christi. He attended Baylor University, graduated from the University of Corpus Christi. Is also a graduate of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, where he received both the BD and the THM degrees. He has served several churches in Texas and Oklahoma, including the noted Seventh and James Baptist Church in Waco, where he was pastor from 61 to 1970. In 1969, he began his clinical pastoral education pilgrimage with a half unit of CPE under Wayne Oates in Louisville, Kentucky. He came to South Carolina as acting supervisor at the South Carolina State Hospital in 1973. So for almost 10 years, he was related to that training facility. In 1982, he joined the staff of the Baptist Medical Center at Columbia and just recently has been named Director of Pastoral Services. We're delighted to welcome as our worship leader, Riley Eubank from Columbia.
Thank you, Al. I would like to direct our attention to several passages of Scripture. These familiar ones: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And that flesh, crucified, cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then gathering in resurrection, he assured disciples, lo, I am with you always. The lonely child cried out at night, I want a drink. The parents gave a typical parent response, no, you just had a drink. In a few moments, the cry came again, I am lonesome. Again, the typical parental response, we're right here. After a while, but I am lonely now. And the parents said, now go to sleep. God is with you. And the child quickly responded, but I want some skin. Nothing takes the place of touch. It is the touch of skin that has authority to it. And that is which I speak. The authority of the minister is the authority of preaching when the word is made flesh and touches human lives in care. It is not the word made rhetoric. It is the word made flesh. I want some skin is not the cry of only a child. It is the cry of all people who know the intense, incredible power of loneliness. If I talk to any group, whether it be adolescent or aged adult, if I speak of loneliness, suddenly a silence develops. And in that pin drop quiet, I have that awesome feeling I had best have a word to say. And suddenly the pulpit looms large as I realize the inadequacy of noise and that I need to leave pulpit to walk among pew to touch. Now I may have a word that touches if I speak of the flesh word that comes out of crisis. Out of my story, I may speak to other people's story if I touch their lives with that dimension of common pain of loneliness. We talk of Thomas and we call him a doubter. And he has gone down in history as doubting Thomas. For he said, I will not believe till I touch the prints of his hand. Perhaps he asked it in another way, that Thomas was saying, I will not believe until I experience that his wounds have touched mine. It is the congregation that often speaks to us that says, I cannot believe what you are saying until I experience that your wounds, you of lofty pulpit, have somehow touched mine. I received a publication the other day from a college and a Bible school in which they proudly announced after a year's survey that 80% of their graduates had not experienced a crisis. Where have they been? How can they speak? Do they touch Jacob, who wrestles in loneliness? Do they touch Hosea, who stands in loneliness to suffer with wife? Do they touch Jesus, who cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Thomas stood there, and he heard those words at that cross. And now Thomas stood in that fellowship, and before him stood Jesus. And Jesus stretched forth his hand, and he saw the wound of the forsaken. And the forsaken Thomas was touched. Out of the crisis cross came the word of authority. My concern, often in our convention, when people are in crisis, we tell them to do more of more. And continually what I hear is a message of law and not of grace. In the midst of crisis, people need more than imperative. They need the story of indicative of the presence of God in Christ in the middle of crisis. That the one who walks alone has one with him. In another hospital, 1,000 miles away, outside the coronary care unit, sat an elderly white woman, her husband, in the coronary care unit, suffering. The elevator opened, and from the elevator came a cleaning woman in the late hour of the night. Mop, bucket, and began to wash the floor down. It was one of those long mops with long, wet, stringy strands, and it swished across the floor and accidentally touched the foot of the woman sitting there. And the woman looked up and spoke in anger, look, you black so-and-so, watch what you're doing. And the cleaning lady stopped and leaned on her mop and said, I know just what you feel. My man was back there last week. When last seen, two people were sitting together, and white hand and black hand and white hand and black hand touched, vulnerable touch to vulnerable touch, to touch each other what it meant to have a man back there. It is the pastor who walks with people who does not give the answer of, I know the answer. It is the pastor who walks with people and dares to say in vulnerability, I do not know the answer to why. I do not know the future, but I have been here before, and I can share with you that there can be the authority in the unknown of having someone walk with you in faith. And if one speaks in that authority made flesh, out of the hurt, of the loneliness, of the crisis, and the suffering, there is the redemptive word of touching, and there is communion. And what people ache for in that lonely existence of theirs is to belong once, now, forevermore to some family that knows them and does not put them out. Here's my first venture in clinical pastoral education. One of the parts of it was sitting between Roger White, a psychiatrist, Wayne Oates, in Louisville for an hour and a half a day for the 6 weeks that I was there. They called it their chip and blast therapy. What one did not chip, the other one blasted. At the end of that 6 weeks, the 6 weeks was actually stretched out over a span of a semester, I was sitting with Wayne one day, and Roger had gone about the hospital with something else, and Wayne said to me in a silent moment, "You are a lonely man, and I am a lonely man." And in the silence, two men were no longer lonely, but had a fellowship of a bond that transcended the meaning of their being lonely. They were together, that vulnerable, touched vulnerable, and in that vulnerable touching, God comes. That where two or three are gathered that way, one may dare say, "God, I feel forsaken." And there comes the Christ word, "Indeed, lo, I am with you always." Let's pray together. Our Father, we have heard words. May we dare hear anew the word made flesh to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. And may we dare speak it to one another in the fellowship of the body of Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.